Blog Talk Radio. I guess that means...
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the new show, WFSO Fan View. We have a lot to talk about for this hour, so should be a fun hour. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to let each of the hosts introduce themselves, and they'll tell you a little bit about themselves and like how they get into wrestling and things like that. So whoever wants to go first, go right ahead.
How about ladies first?
Hey, everyone. My name is Carrie Gorotowski. I've been a wrestling fan pretty much all my life since I've been a kid. Started from AWA and worked my way to WWF, now WWE. I am not opposed to not watching any kind of wrestling. I love wrestling regardless of what it is. And that's pretty much all I can say. Wrestling is my life, my passion, my hobby. Name it. It is what it is. Next.
All right, what we got next?
My name is Mark Morris. I got into wrestling at a young age with like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, even before that with the Crusher. Nowadays, follow WWE a lot of local scene around Milwaukee. We had like Bruce City, ICW, watch TNA every once in a while. So big into wrestling.
Awesome. My name is Skyler Reed. I've basically been watching wrestling since I was born. I went to my first show when I was like a month old. I kind of take myself as a wrestling encyclopedia for most things. I actually am a professional wrestler. I've been a wrestler for about 9 years. So I like to hear just about everything about wrestling is pretty entertaining to me.
All right, pretty cool. So we got that out the way. And no, I don't need to know me. I think they know me too much for a few years now. So I don't need to get into me. So what we're going to do talk about is the couple of topics and what happened in the news this week in wrestling. So first of the topic that I want to talk about is one of the things I saw on one of the groups is about like faces versus heel, and just like you got the fans cheering the heels and some of the fans booing the faces. So what would be y'all take on, you know, why the trend is like that?
Well, if we pick certain wrestlers, I can see why fans would boo them even when they try to make them a face. I hate to put anybody out there because I'm sure there's fans of Mr. John Cena, but he appeals too much to kids, so all the adults would like to boo him. He's not really an adult-orientated person. Another person I think they try to make as a face that they just can't get over is Roman Reigns. I think he would make a better heel. He has a real hard trying to push that guy as a face. I just don't think he can carry it, so I think fans boo certain characters based on what they should be rather than what they are being pushed as.
Okay,
I have to agree to disagree with Mark on that. I do agree about John Cena, him being a kid-orientated wrestler, because he does so many charities, so many reward shows. He's been doing more PR things than being in the WWE spotlight. I feel that kids are more apt to liking him more than adults because he's kind of like an adult face. He's kind of like does the same moves, does the same thing, pretty predictable. So fans are like, okay, you need to come up with something different. So I agree with Mark on John Cena. However, Roman Reigns, I would disagree on him being a heel. I don't think he really would be great as a heel only because he has to work on his mic skills a little bit, just a tad bit. There are days where he's good and there are days where he's terrible. So maybe in between a face and a heel, I wouldn't say fully heel, but I would say in between. Kind of like switch him up.
I definitely agree with the mic skills. He's not huge on the mic skills, but I think you have a point. But John Cena's charitable work isn't why I think people boo him. I think it's more his character. I loved it when they called him, what was it, Fruity Flakes for, you know, when they had that Pebbles cereal. That was classic. That was the only time I actually liked John Cena coming out.
Yeah, so with back to Carrie, she was saying, like, Roman Reigns, like, you think he should be like a tweener or something like that?
Yeah, I would agree with, like, in between a face and a heel. I wouldn't really go by, I don't know, I don't think he would make a good heel because everybody's, like, so used to him being a face. I don't know, like, fans boo him. I don't know why people boo him. That's just, like, people saying they don't know why they boo John Cena. Like, I personally liked John Cena 15 years ago when he first came into the business, but as of today, everybody knows I do not care for John Cena, but I love Roman Reigns. I'm not opposed to Roman Reigns at all. I guess people are just intimidated by him or whatever, but...
I guess I have a bias against John Cena, because when he broke out on the scene, one of the guys that he kind of took out was Chris Jericho, and I'm a Jericho fan. And Roman Reigns, I think women have a sex appeal towards him. So I think women, no offense, Carrie, I think women tend to like him as adults more than men do. Not that he's not manly. He's just, I don't know. He doesn't get across with a lot of guys.
I guess my take about it is, like, I'm like the old-fashioned, just like you boo the heels and cheer for the faces. Although I got respect for, like, all wrestlers, but I guess my take would be is just, like, I'm just an old-fashioned guy. That's all it is.
No, I'm not saying I don't have respect for heels. I mean, there's a lot of guys I got respect for and a lot of faces I got respect for. It's just... but I'm just talking character where I think that they would get over and why they're booed and why they're not. It's not that I don't like them or I like, you know, like somebody more.
Hey, Skylar, what is your thought about this whole face heel thing?
Just sitting here listening for a second, like, the issue with WWE is there really is no heel or face. Like, if you just run through the roster, there's very few guys that actually get booed. So, like, I would say maybe The Miz, Elias, Jinder Mahal, and probably that's, like, it. Like, if you think about, like, a guy like Samoa Joe, for instance, everyone loves Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is a bad guy that does bad things, but nobody boos Samoa Joe. You know what I mean? And so, like, it kind of comes down to, like, people just don't care for John Cena anymore. Like, I think everyone said they kind of dislike John Cena. I actually enjoy John Cena, but, like, he's going to get booed because he's not the flavor of the month anymore. It's, like, guys like Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose or Daniel Bryan. But it's really hard to find people. Oh, here's another one, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was a heel, but nobody booed Bray Wyatt. They hummed his song, and they put up the lights so he could come down the aisle, but no one booed him. Like, I mean, if he did something, like, messed up to, you know, like Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose, then you boo him because you like them more. But my opinion, there's not too many heels that are actually trying to get booed anymore. Everyone's trying to sell their merchandise or their movies or things like that.
Yeah, cause I kind of agree with you, because, like, if you look at Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, they just had a match with the Bludgeon Brothers, and they're both arguably heels. You know, now they're kind of giving a face turn to the, you know, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, but initially, they were a heel. They're still on the heel side, I'd say. They're nowhere near a clean face. But they're definitely over.
More like the Bar. The Bar is hilarious, Like, you can't like boo those guys because they're so good and they're funny and they're entertaining, but they're clearly trying to do bad stuff because they're cheating. But you can't boo them.
Yeah, if you like when Eddie Guerrero was a heel, everybody loved him.
Yeah.
But he was a clean cut. I'm trying to do rotten things. I'm lying. I'm cheating. I'm stealing. Two mamacitas are better than one. There was nothing good about his character, but he was yet a fan favorite. He's still, in his day, loved by everybody, including me.
So I would have to go off Skylar's part about the whole heel face thing again, because I love a few of my villains. Of course, if anybody knows who I really am, my favorite WWE superstar is The Miz. I mean, I've met that guy more than a dozen times, and every single time I've loved him, and doesn't matter. I love his mic skills. I love his charisma. I love his look. It doesn't matter to me. And there is another person who's wearing on me, and that's Baron Corbin. I don't know why. There's just something about him that I'm drawn to right now. Like, I'm giving him a chance, and he plays a really good villain. Now, he's perfect in his heel form or his personality character-wise. I don't know. And then all the stunts that they just did last week on Raw, which we'll get into, but, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I like The Miz a lot, his character now. I hated him when he came out and did the hoorah thing. And kind of pushed, I don't know if it was like a military, like I'm a drill instructor. I know he didn't, like, advertise the military, but when he did the hoorah gimmick, I didn't like it at all. His gimmick now, you know, and when he had the Miztourage, and yeah, he's very over. It's hard to not like The Miz.
Right, and we're probably just going to end that conversation from there and, like, move on to the next topic. If you guys are familiar with NXT, like, we had one of their yearly brothers, one of them got released. And if y'all don't remember, they were from here in Milwaukee. So what was y'all take on one of them getting released by NXT?
I don't know why he got released. I know there's several different reasons people get released. So I don't know the backstory of why he got released, so I can't really comment. Because I do see some of my favorites come and go. And it's difficult to deal with that when you fall in love with a character and then he's just gone. Anybody else got thoughts on that?
I mean, they have several people released on NXT, so it's, like, really hard to say why. They just, you know, they don't give enough detail about people. They just say, oh, they're released. Of course, they're not going to put that in the media because you only can say so much, so their career is not on the line.
Now, they used to advertise if it was against a wellness policy or something like that, but I don't really see much anymore why somebody's released. When Simon Gotcha,
sure.
Simon Grimm, whatever you want to call him, when he got released, I don't know why that released either, but I think it was something happened backstage. But Devon Villains.
Yeah, that situation, he wanted to get released. It wasn't like with the companies like doing or anything like that. Simon Gotch had wanted to get released.
Oh, I didn't know the backstory on that. Do you know why he wanted to get released?
He said he wasn't happy there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in, but I'm not really sure why one of the Ely brothers was released. They are actually good friends of mine. I haven't really talked to them about that because I don't want to, like, pry in on stuff like that. But, it actually shocked me because only one of them got released, and they're actually a tag team. Because they're twins,
right.
So Yeah, it seemed a bit weird, and like once I seen it, I was like, I don't even want to read anymore. So I'm not actually sure myself, but I'm sure like if they do come back, but since one of them is still signed, I assume they're just gonna stay in Florida. But like if they do come back, I'm sure they'll probably tell us and we'll figure it out or something like that. But yeah, it was definitely a surprise to see that.
Okay, well, I found an article from ProWrestlingSheet.com breaking news about the Ely brother who got released. He was talking about having 24-hour migraines on Instagram, so it sounds like that he's dealing with the effects of a head injury. So there's a possibility that there's a concussion possibly going on, or the headaches are
yeah.
too hard to bear right now.
Yeah,
well, if that is the case,
that's
I hope he recovers.
Well. And kind of like the same thing, because I know that it was the other brother that had the migraine, and the one brother had got released. I guess, like, my take on it is, like, one of the reasons is, like, why. And plus, like, they wasn't doing much with them, and I'm like, they were a pretty good tag team from what I'm seeing them, what they were doing on NXT, but I guess it's just one of those questions is, like, what, they wasn't good enough, or like, what's the, you know, why?
Yes, it's a good question.
I guess further development will come later as we go along.
Yeah, they have been known to underdevelop some really talented people, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, you could be right
yep.
about that. Okay, let's get on to, let's talk about another one. I think I shared it with y'all earlier this week. It was about the Shawn Michaels situation, and he was agreeing that he will come back for one more match. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I think if Shawn Michaels come back, it would definitely be a payday. I think he's still got a lot of appeal. I don't know how much ring rust he would have, but I'm sure he'd have some preliminary matches, dark matches, and, you know, practice. But I think a lot of people would be interested in watching him perform again. There's quite a few stars that they'd like to see him appear, let alone perform. Anytime Ric Flair comes out, he gets a pop. I know Hogan had a lot of bad press a few years ago, but if he came out, he'd get a huge pop. Shawn Michaels is definitely going to get a pop. Dave Bautista. I mean, there's a lot of names you could list. And if that person's going to be, you know, marketed and matched, it's going to be a hit, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of disagree. Just because, like, yeah, Shawn Michaels has a draw and everything, but I don't know who you would put him up against now, because, I mean, obviously he's definitely older. Like, even when he wrestled the matches with The Undertaker, there was more of a brawl aspect to the match, plus they did things in the match that you can remember. I don't see Shawn Michaels trying to do a moonsault off the top rope right now. I mean, I could be wrong, but then, like, if he does that, he's going to have to one-up these younger guys. I mean, yeah, I don't really know who you would put him in the ring against that has enough star power to kind of combat his star power. Maybe like a John Cena, kind of like The Undertaker did, but even that, like, their match wasn't super long either.
I'm seeing, like, more of a match with, like, a Randy Orton, like a legend killer. I know that image, that persona is not actively used, but I could see that being revitalized and, you know, Michaels losing and pushing Orton, because Orton's not anywhere anymore.
But
so they would have
reason.
To bring somebody up and push him again.
Yeah, there's no reason to put Randy Orton over, though. So, I mean, I guess Shawn Michaels could wrestle Orton and just beat him. But, like, because, I mean, Randy Orton doesn't really matter right now anymore. So, but then his star power is not as big as Shawn Michaels. So if they wrestled, as a fan, you'd kind of just be like, oh, yeah, we're here to see Shawn Michaels beat Randy Orton because that's probably happened. Like, there'd be no doubt that he would win. You know what I mean?
I have to agree and disagree with you guys. Part of what Skylar said about Shawn Michaels coming back, I really don't see that either. I mean, I've met Shawn Michaels when I was, like, 14, and, you know, that's, of course, it's been a long time since I've seen him last, except when he did an appearance here in Milwaukee at the auto show a few years ago. But, yeah, him being 52 years old and trying to, again, like Skylar said, wrestle or do any kind of maneuver off any type of rope, top rope, any type of high-flying situation. I mean, stick to the low stuff, but I would think if Shawn Michaels came back and did anything, it would be something with DX.
I don't know if he'd do a DX thing, and granted, he's no longer the high flyer, but his charisma would carry him. He's really good on the mic. He always has been an appeal to younger fans and older fans alike. If they did have him come out with, you know, Triple H or some members of DX, it would be even bigger. Because, you know, Road Dogg's still there and once in a while comes out. So I could see how they might tie in the DX thing, but I think that aspect would be highly unlikely. So I disagree with the DX. I don't think that they would play that role. They've done that a number of times, so I doubt they'd go the DX way. But yeah, anything's possible. If it makes money and they think they can market it, they'll do it.
But you have to consider what WWE is like, though. They're very predictable, and they'll do anything more than once.
And they have. DX has been brought back a lot of times since the Attitude Era.
DX was just there for that 25th anniversary thing as well. Like, I mean, I can see him coming back and maybe just, like, super kicking somebody, but I don't know if he can do a whole 20-30 minute match against somebody. And like I was saying before, it would have to be somebody that has enough drawing power to equal out Shawn Michaels. Because he would be putting someone over, and that's the hard part.
Wait, who do you guys think that he will face if he go through with it? Who y'all think he should face?
Like I said, I think it's somebody that could be somebody or somebody relevant again, but right now is, you know, mid-card status, or somebody that they want to make into somebody like Elias. If they wanted to make somebody relevant again, they could have him go against, you know, Orton or Daniel Bryan or somebody who's still there, has a lot of fans, but isn't relevant, or somebody that's new, has fans, and needs a big push, somebody to get over.
I'm going to make an inside joke on this and say, bring out, since Curt Hawkins kind of needs something to do, him talking on the mic, talking crap about Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels comes out and, you know, just they have a match and Shawn Michaels just kills them. I don't know. I'm just throwing a joke out there, I guess.
That is actually a really good idea. Yeah, like, you remember the what was that, a couple of years ago when Heath Slater used to do that, and he would run down legends, and every week a new legend would come out and beat him? That might actually be a pretty good idea, because then Shawn wouldn't have to wrestle the full 20 minutes. He would literally just come out there, bell would ring, super kick, boom, match over, or something like that. But if he did have to wrestle somebody, Elias might not be a bad choice. Because Elias doesn't do very many, like, high-flying, crazy moves. He's more of a talker. And so when they get in the ring, they could just tell the story that they needed to tell. Elias gets the super kick, loses the match. But Elias is one of those guys where he doesn't need to win matches to still be relevant. Like, he's probably the most entertaining talker in WWE right now. And most of the time, he doesn't even wrestle. He just does the singing of his...
And I agree with you. I agree with you, except for the fact that he would lose. I think eventually he's going to get a push. And if they hold the Shawn Michaels or they hold somebody later, he'll win. And he'll become more relevant because he's already got quite a fan base. And his fan base is growing. And as long as his fan base is growing, they're going to want to utilize him more.
See, that's the weird thing with WWE is, like, even though the fans like you, they will not change their direction with the person. A perfect example, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was over as anybody on the roster. Bray Wyatt lost to just about everybody in a row. He lost to Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, John Cena. And every single time you would think, oh man, he's going to win this match. And then he loses. And, like, they just kept doing it. And now they're like, okay, we'll just put you with Matt Hardy. And then he finally gets a bone. And it's like, you remember, he even won the title and literally lost it, like, the next month. And you're like, oh, that was pointless. Why did he even win? So, like, with Elias, and that, to me, Elias can just lose as much as he wanted. But the fans still love Elias to the point where they know all of his chants. He's entertaining when he does his songs, and, like, he actually gets cheered. So, like, I feel like he'd be one of the guys that could lose to Shawn Michaels, and it'd be okay.
I see your point, but I agree on that case, but disagree, because I can give you another scenario. If we bring out Zack Ryder, his career in WWE was tanking. He was on the verge of getting released.
Yep.
He did his own marketing by World Wide Web. And, they changed the direction on him, and they decided to use his character. Granted, that was quite a while ago. He's still with the company, though. He was doing really well for a while. Now he's kind of leveled off and even dropped down a little bit. But because of him and because of what he did, he changed what they were going to do with him. So they can change their mind at times. But he's the only one that pops in mind.
Once he won the Intercontinental title, he literally lost it the next day. So their direction never changed with him. They just kind of were like, hey, let's surprise you. And then they dropped him again. And, yeah, he'll probably be with the company forever because they can use him forever.
I guess, like, my take, I would say if Shawn Michaels decides to come back, and if there's, like, one more person that he will face, I guess this is, like, a crazy scenario and probably some people's dream match. I think it will be AJ Styles. Although I know they're, like, I wouldn't say, like, because I know AJ's 40, but he can still go and, as y'all mentioned, Shawn Michaels is 52. But you seen, like, some older people, like, in their 50s, like Ric Flair, like, they can still go, but they just do, like, maybe, like, limited movesets. So that's what I think my take on that. So, oh, go ahead.
That would be a good match, and I can see how that would be a lot of Dream People's match. I think AJ right now is huge. He's the champ. He would have to drop pretty rapidly, I think. He would have to lose. I think he would have to drop the belt to Shinsuke. And he might go maybe mid-card before he would face Michaels. I don't think he would face him as the champ or anywhere near, you know, one of the guys in contention for the championship.
I would have to agree with Mark on that. I don't see AJ Styles wrestling coming out and wrestling Shawn Michaels unless AJ Styles has this bad heel persona where he's, I mean, we've seen wrestlers who, like, I mean, look at Braun Strowman, you know, piss off at the world, come out and kick everyone's tail behind everywhere around the arena, but I don't see that either. Not right now, at least.
I mean, it's June. WrestleMania is in April. If they planned on doing it in WrestleMania, they got plenty of time to change everybody's standing and bring up and make a story, and that could happen, but I think it's highly unlikely. Skylar, what do you think?
Yeah, dude.
I would probably say, yeah, no go on that, just because you wouldn't want someone in there that would make Shawn Michaels look bad. And AJ is probably the best wrestler in WWE right now. So putting him in there, like, or a guy like Seth Rollins or somebody like that, would kind of make Shawn Michaels look old. And Shawn Michaels has been, like, the guy forever. So I don't think they would want him to look too bad. You know what? Maybe The Miz. The Miz might be another guy. He doesn't do too many flashy things. He doesn't slam people very much. That might be a solid one for Shawn Michaels, too, now that I'm thinking about it.
I know we've been on this topic a long time, but I just had a thought. If WWE was really, really creative, since Shawn Michaels and Triple H are major best friends in real life, what about that feud?
Mm-hmm.
Like that feud would be so good because they know each other personally. They know each other professionally. You could see, like, Shawn Michaels getting upset with Triple H over something and then turn around and just super kick him, and that's that.
I feel that granted, it's been enough time, but they've done that. Granted, they do bring back things. If you look at what they did on Raw this week and what they did on SmackDown, they basically did the same thing. They use things the same over and over and over again as long as it works. You know, they started both segments, both shows. One was a liar, and then you don't know Lashley real well, blah, blah, blah. Then they did the same thing with Exana, you know. You don't know her, blah, 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 and then they changed her. They didn't call her a liar, but they did the whole you don't know her image. So, yeah, even though they did it, and they did it 10 years ago or whatever it was, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of Raw, we might as well just talk about Raw this week. What did y'all think about the beginning segment was all right before the match with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal and Elias. So I guess the beginning was okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Elias Rollins match was good. I liked it in general. It was a pretty good match.
You said it was a good match?
I thought it was alright. It wasn't bad. I like the characters. The best match on Raw was not that match. But the segment that started it, I thought it was alright. I like Elias. His song going into that could have been better. Normally he's wittier. It wasn't the greatest song, but it was okay. It got lame with the free taco things when Hawkins got into there a little bit later. But it was alright from what I remember.
Oh, come on,
wait,
you guys.
Okay.
Who wants to walk with
Elias? I don't know right now. that opening match was pretty bad. Like, but so I took a lot of notes because I haven't really watched WWE, like, live in a while. And I kind of just, like, zone in and out through Raw and SmackDown and Fast Forward and stuff, but I watched the entire show. So, with that match, do you guys remember how that match ended?
Wasn't it when Elias knocked out Seth Rollins?
Yeah. So, that match, he DDT'd him on a chair in front of the referee and was not disqualified. And I was just like, what is going on? And the referee was staring right at him. And then he kicked the chair out in front of the referee. And I'm like, okay, he's disqualified, right? One, two, three. And I'm like, okay. And not to, like, jump forward. But then it made me so mad because in the Finn Balor match with Owens got disqualified for punching Finn Balor through the referee's help. And I'm like, how did he get disqualified? But the other guy actually DDT'd him on his chair and did not get disqualified. I was like, the show is already going to the tubes. Like, just dropping right out the gate. I was so mad.
Yeah, if we're looking for flaws, there's a lot of flaws in the show. I do agree with you.
That's not even a flaw. That is ruining the whole match. Like, because they didn't even get the idea over that Elias was a cheater, and that's how he cheated to beat the Intercontinental Champion. In that case, he literally just beat the Intercontinental Champion clean. He didn't cheat. Because I guess it was legal.
You know what's going to happen, though, with that? Him beating Seth Rollins, by the way you guys are talking about it and stuff, I don't see him winning that title, period. Because usually the whole flaw of it is WWE will, like, prop him up and like, oh, blah, 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 he beat up the Intercontinental Champion, or somebody beat up some other champion, this and that. But then all of a sudden, when it comes to the pay-per-view, champion always wins unless WWE wants to flip the script. But, yeah, there is a lot of notes about Raw, but that match was just, I was just like, what?
The only thing I think that's going to happen from that match, I didn't take any notes on that match. So I can't recall how good or bad it may have been. I just think it was all right because it was blah to me. I'm recalling what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with you. All I can think about Elias, though, is he's not going to go down. He's going to get a push. When he loses, he's still getting the push. They want him around, and they're going to continue to utilize him as long as he's popular, as long as he's where he is.
Oh, you know what? You know what's the best part of that entire match? Roman Reigns got cheered. Like, they have finally figured it out that they put him with someone that is so hated that Roman Reigns is getting cheered. That blew my mind. I was like, look at this. WWE's actually doing something smart.
Ain't that the truth? It's about time. But, yeah, there was some good stuff happening. But my best thing about Raw was the best promo thing that they did on Raw was when I was talking about Hawkins, Curt Hawkins, and all of a sudden, guess who comes interrupting Curt Hawkins? Baron Corbin. Not only did Curt Hawkins get his loss, he got number 200 loss.
Exactly. We was just going to talk about, get to that, with Curt Hawkins losing to a jobber. I guess he called himself James Harden.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think that was kind of funny.
What do you guys think about...
Yeah, he's trying to get some good mic skills on that, but he's failing.
What do you think about the Braun Strowman splitting the ladder? I mean, if we're talking about things that are kind of ridiculous...
Yeah,
I understand that they're trying to make him this monster among men, and he's over, and he can, you know, do anything that is humanly possible, but snapping a ladder in half, you know, in half with your hands, a little bit like, really, you know what I mean?
I have nothing against Braun Strowman, but I think they're hyping him up too fast as well. Because, I mean, if you recall the Greatest Royal Rumble, where he was standing on the edge of the mat and Daniel Bryan looked right at him, could have knocked him off, could have eliminated him. He just turned around and just looked at somebody else. I was like, oh, my God, that is so staged. And Strowman ended up winning the Rumble. I'm like, what? That could have been prevented.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't understand their – I'm not going to say their appeal, but I don't understand what is going on with Braun Strowman. Just because you look at the guy and they're pushing him, but they don't push him to anything important. Like his end game, I don't even know where that's going to end up, because obviously if he wins the title, at some point he's going to have to drop it to Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins. And my issue with the Braun Strowman ladder thing is Bobby Roode is supposedly a face right now, so which doesn't make any sense because he's a way better heel. But at the same time, he was being a heel in the match by running away from the babyface in Braun Strowman, and then he basically got buried. Like he did nothing to Braun Strowman except run and then get pinned. And Bobby Roode is probably one of their best wrestlers on the show, but they basically don't use him at all.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. Yeah, I have to agree because I feel like Bobby Roode is I think he should have stayed on SmackDown, not come to Raw. I don't know what made them think about having Bobby Roode be more efficient on Raw. I feel like he's not belonging in his role on Raw. I think more of SmackDown was like more that than Raw. I'm really not a fan of him, I guess.
I like him. I think initially with the Charlotte Flair thing that they were doing, I forget the name of the matches they were having. They were right after Raw would go off the air. They'd have matches.
Mixed Match Challenge.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. That's it. But I think that they maybe wanted to have them as a couple. I don't know. It seemed like they were going that direction, but they went away from it. So I think that's why he was initially brought there. But they didn't use that angle, and I thought they were going to. I thought it was pretty obvious that they were going to try that angle.
Yeah, Bobby Roode is—he's almost great, and I don't understand what they do with him. He's like a glorified jobber at this point.
I
don't. Period.
Right, and I think he's a legitimate talent that should be pushed.
That's not a note.
Yeah, let me run down the matches, like the win and loss column on the matches from Raw. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, they lost to Jinder Mahal and Elias. Kurt Hawkins lost to the local jobber, thanks to Baron Corbin. Nia Jax defeated Natalya. Braun Strowman defeated Robbie Roode. The tag team battle royal, the B team won, so they go against Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. They had a six women tag, which I can't even remember who was all in there. And Finn Balor won by disqualification versus Kevin Owens. So I think somebody had talked about their overall of Raw. So what's everybody's opinion on this week's Raw?
If I could give Raw a rating, I would probably give them a 5. There are days where they give an 8 out of 10, but this one was kind of a 5. A lot of the match was like, what? It was just like Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was a what with a question mark for me.
I think the most – what I like the best is when the Big Show was out there with the Special Olympics, and they all did the Finn Balor, and Finn Balor got the pop, and he came out, and him and – Owens were having a really solid, entertaining match. That was the best part of Raw. That, from that segment until where Owens got disqualified, I'd give that a 9 or a 10. The rest of the show, it was a normal Monday Night Raw that I put on. I deal with the kids. I deal with, you know, the dogs. I talk to my wife. I just, it's a normal, I'll pay attention once in a while, but I'm not going to be, like, invested in the show. I tried to be invested in this one because of this podcast, but other than the closing segment, there was very little that kind of, like, got me. I like the comment in the women's match where it said the woman division's got a snake bite. Yeah, because it, you know, or was that in SmackDown? Oh, that, yeah. That was Raw. Yeah, most of it was just, it was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, again, I will have to say the best part of Raw was Baron Corbin knocking out Curt Hawkins, making him lose, and him being named the new constable for Kurt Angle. That was probably my best part of the whole entire show, except for calling that the B team will win the tag team match. I called it even before they did win it.
Yeah, I'm probably, and I feel really bad saying this, but it's probably a 1 out of 10 for me, just because they did such a disservice to a lot of people. Like I said, that the first match with the DDT on the chair, that basically buried the entire match, plus made the referee look stupid. Nat versus Nia, that one didn't make any sense because unless Natalya is legitimately injured, which I don't think she is, just saying, but you see that she's literally going against the champion who's the best person on the show because they're the champion, and the champion didn't beat her with, you know, ease. So it kind of made Nia look stupid. And then it didn't further any story between Nia and Ronda Rousey. So to me, that was a pointless match. Like the Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn segment, that just ran on way too long and didn't get their storyline any further. And it was just like everything they did that entire night was just kind of like, and what? Kind of like you said, with the what? Like, okay, this happened. So, this happened. Okay, this happened. So, and it's just like over and over. Like, I would say between the two shows, SmackDown definitely beat Raw this week for me.
I have to disagree about that. SmackDown did not beat Raw. I still say Raw beat SmackDown any day because I'm all red. I'm all red every week. But, yeah, I have to agree with your points because, there was a lot of filler.
The reason I throw SmackDown over is just the opening segment by itself. Like, Raw did the Elias and then the match, and, like, understandable they put their, like, big dogs, no pun intended, as, like, the start of the show, and that's cool, but, like, SmackDown started with women who actually did an amazing promo and then, like, fed into Asuka and then actually had a 2-on-1 match that made perfect sense. And it put over Mandy Rose. It made Sonya Deville look like a beast. And it made Asuka look like a beast. Plus, Carmella's, like, her mic skills are really, really improved, which also made her look like a dirtbag heel. So to me, that, like, made their entire, like, opening segment look way better than what Raw had in any segment. And, like, it made 4 different people look better than what they were last week, if that makes sense. Like, with Raw, there wasn't really anybody on the show that looked any better than what we already know. Like, everybody just kind of stayed on the same platform. Probably except Baron Corbin. Like, he looked way better. But, like, the B team, we all obviously knew they were going to win. Finn Balor won by disqualification. Kevin Owens lost the match and then got stomped on. Like, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins lost to Jinder Mahal and Elias. Like, just like, and then you have Nia and Ronda Rousey. I'm not excited to see that match at all because they haven't really done anything that's exciting. Like, to me, it's just kind of like, okay, we're just on to the next show. Like, I feel like SmackDown actually made you want to go, like, oh, man, hey, I want to see this match now.
Yeah, now that you said something about SmackDown having good flow, yeah, I have to agree on that. They did have better flow than Raw. Raw was definitely all over the place, but, yeah, I agree with everything. It's just, what?
I think SmackDown did start off a lot stronger than Raw. I just think that the ending of Raw, the last, all the way up until, like I said, the disqualification, that segment from the Big Show on, I thought was great. The Sami Zayn dragging out with Bobby Lashley, it was boring. I was looking up on Wikipedia to see if he was actually in the military, how long he served. If anybody's curious, it's 3 years.
Yep,
it was way
dragged.
It was dragged out. It was just, like I said, a blah episode. There was hardly any that really kept my attention, even though I tried to concentrate on it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Okay,
I mean,
Go ahead.
I felt like SmackDown had better matches, too. Like, that 3-on-3 at the end was really good. And then Becky Lynch and Charlotte had a pretty solid match. That 2-on-1 was actually way better than I thought it would be. I thought Asuka was just going to run through both of them, but it made them look strong and made her look strong. And I was like, oh, well, okay. I can see this happening later. And then, to me, the only bad match was Carl Anderson and Luke Harper. And, I mean, I know they don't have as much time, but, like, I feel like every match actually was good enough to make people look better. Like, I'm very intrigued to see, like, Becky Lynch in the ladder match now. And I don't even like Becky Lynch. I kind of think she's boring. But, like, I'm like, oh, well, hey, she just beat Charlotte, who is almost unbeatable. That kind of makes her look a little like she might win this Money in the Bank, you know. Plus, like, Asuka and Carmella, I'm intrigued to kind of see, like, is Carmella actually going to, like, somehow keep her title against Asuka, who, again, is almost unstoppable. So I'm kind of like, I don't really know what's going to happen. So I kind of like the unpredictability of SmackDown right now, if that makes sense.
No, it makes
we'll
a lot of sense.
We'll have to see what happens.
Right, so let's go on talk about the matches that happened in SmackDown. Asuka defeated Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Carl Anderson defeated Luke Harper. Jimmy Uso and Naomi defeated Lana and Aiden English. Becky Lynch defeated Charlotte, and The New Day defeated Samoa Joe, Rusev, and The Miz. I think that ending segment with the six-man tag, I think it was kind of hilarious with, like, Rusev and Samoa Joe both beat up The Miz and just left. They had The New Day to finish them off.
Well, you know I'm not
like
a fan of that.
Yeah,
I know you
wouldn't be a fan of that. I wasn't a fan of the Big Cass segment. You know, a good big man always beats a good little man. He kind of reminds me of Edge now. Edge, his later character. But I don't find Kaz's new character very appealing. I liked it better when he was a face. Not to say that this could work out for him. It's just, it's not selling for me right now.
I don't see Big Cass going anywhere either right now. I just don't. There's nothing for him to do. Everybody's pursuing their own little plans, but I just don't see him fitting either. It's like the Bobby Roode on Raw and him on SmackDown, Cass on SmackDown. I don't know if switching the two would do any better. I just see Big Cass. I'm just not feeling it.
Right. I liked it when he was, you can't teach that.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you don't have Enzo Amore, which is fine. But you didn't have to change him so much because this transformation that they're trying to do, it's just not working.
Yeah, I get what y'all saying. Like, they really have to do something with Big Cass, and hopefully after the Daniel Bryan feud, whoever wins or loses, they move on from that and they try to work something out with Big Cass and maybe push him either higher or keep him in the mid-level, just have him go after somebody else. But I know we got like 5 minutes left, so let's get to my point of view of the week. So what would be your point of view of the week in wrestling?
I would have to say my point of view is let's see how good Money in the Bank is going to be. I mean, we just talked about what happened on Raw and SmackDown and how it's going to lead to Money in the Bank. I mean, you know, Becky winning against Charlotte, people are saying that Sasha Banks is going to win that Money in the Bank. I'm going to have to disagree. I'm not huge on Sasha. I mean, we've all seen her. We all see how she treats fans outside of the ring. Like, she doesn't really care for the fans. But for me, I'm going to have to go with Charlotte.
Okay. Next up.
Let's see. My point of view in wrestling. I'm going to go on a limb and just say SmackDown will outshine Raw again and probably outshine them at the pay-per-view as well. I feel like there's guys working harder, or guys and gals working harder on SmackDown to be noticed. And on Raw, like, you have your Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman, Sasha Banks, Bayley, stuff like that. Where on SmackDown, you have people that are actually on the show and doing things, and everyone's kind of creating their own space. Like, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Lana's actually been pretty entertaining lately. Aiden English, like, even if he doesn't wrestle, you're like, oh, man. Did you hear what Aiden English said? And, like, even the closing where now you don't know if the New Day is going to break up or not, like, that's everything on SmackDown right now is you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen. On Raw, you can be like, Rollins is going to beat Elias. Roman Reigns is probably going to beat Jinder Mahal. Like, and you can just go down their list and kind of call out everything.
Yeah, I'll wait. I guess
my point of view on this is I'm looking forward to the next week and wrestling to see if there's any changes, because right now the most exciting part of the Money in the Bank upcoming pay-per-view is the AJ Styles versus the Shinsuke match. I thought the contract signing segment was horrible, but I do think they're two of the best in-ring talents, and they have the potential to have an amazing match. The Money in the Bank matches are obviously going to be the ones they market during the week. My prediction is I think Charlotte's going to walk away with it. Oksana and her, they're probably the two best female talents they have. Sasha, outside the business, is not a very fan-friendly, nice person, but in-ring, her ability, I think, is really good. They've had some matches that made me compare, like, Charlotte to Trish Stratus and Sasha Banks to Lita. I haven't seen that in a little while, but when they started, they were doing things that hasn't been done in a while in the women's division. So I think Charlotte's going to take that. When it comes to the men in the Money in the Bank ladder match, I still don't know who I'm picking. I just don't think it should be Strowman, because it's too obvious of his choice, so I don't think he's going to get it.
Okay, that's the point of view of the week. As we're running out of time, I want to thank everyone for listening, and plus thanks to the hostess of the show for their intake on wrestling and things like that. And we're going to continue this on Friday. We're going to talk about more about Money in the Bank and all the other news and stuff. So we got to get out of here. And from everybody here, you guys have a good night, and we will talk to you on Friday.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Peace out.